You are listening to a remastered recording from an older cassette format titled The God of the Present, CD number 6, out of the series 12 Great Sermons That Will Knock Your Socks Off by Pastor William J. Lytle, preached at Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida, on October 16, 1994.
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro through his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. An angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh hither, put thy shoes off thy feet, from the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God. I want you to underline that, mark that, asterisk that, something there. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. We could preach on that today and encourage you. God knows your sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the Egyptians, the hand of the Egyptians, and bring them up out of that land unto a large and good land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto the Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. And when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. Is this a little too loud for you? Because I plan on getting a little louder as I go along. Okay. All right. Just want to warn the PA man back there that I'm going to be coming through loud and clear today. Matthew, I swing to Matthew chapter 22, and you don't have to turn to that. You can keep your Bibles to this area here, this 14th verse, especially in the book of Exodus. But Matthew 22, Jesus is speaking. The Pharisees are trying to stump him. And Jesus said unto him, to the Pharisees, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures. By the way, if you don't know the Scriptures, you're open for error. And nor do you know the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as in the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, in Matthew 22:32 is a key verse. He quotes Exodus 3:14 here by saying, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Excuse me, he quotes an earlier verse there in that chapter. So he's not the God of the dead. He's the God of Abraham today. He was the God of Abraham. Now, the time that was spoken to Moses was probably around 1460 or so B.C. So we're talking 1400 and some years later. Jesus says the God that you worship is still the God of Abraham, the God of present tense, Isaac, the God of Jacob, present tense. Right now, he is that God. And you also find, and if you want to flip over to the book of John, and it's in the New Testament. We're doing a survey here. The 8th chapter, 4th Gospel. And you'll see the 58th verse. Jesus is, let's go to the 56th verse. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, which are a skeptical group, Sadducees and scribes and lawyers, very skeptical group. And they are trying to disprove him and disprove his character as righteous. And they basically say, Your father, Jesus says, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw and was glad. And that's Jesus' statement. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art yet not 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham. Abraham was 2160 B.C., so some 2160 plus his lifespan of 30, so 2190 years ago, Abraham walked the earth around. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And, of course, the question would have to come up by these Pharisees, what are you talking about? You're 50 years old, which, by the way, is very young. Which is very young. Which is very young. Which is very young. Anybody out there under 50? Which is very young. Anyways, he says in verse 58, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Same thing. Same, by identifying himself as the I am in the third chapter, and he also does in the 24th verse, calls himself the I am. Jesus there identifies himself as the God of the present. The God of the present. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I believe that we need God, the God of the past, that's yesterday. And that we need also the God of the present. We have the God of the future. But today I'm going to emphasize the one part of the three parts that he says he is. He's the God of the past, he's the God of the present, and he's the God of the future. I am that I am. I want to emphasize to you today, God is a God of the present. I heard this sermon back a few weeks ago, very similar to this, but it won't be. I heard a sermon on this topic, and it made me start to think about what my dad used to tell me, because this week I've been thinking a lot about what my dad used to tell me. And my dad has taught me a few good things. And one of them has been this truth that I want to share with you today, that he's taught me from your size up, Russell, and he's taught me that God is a God of the present, not just a God of the past, not just a God of the future. First, I want to mention to you that now is the time for attention. And I don't think we prayed yet, did we? I want to pray before we start. Heavenly Father, now I pray that the power of God, the Spirit, may take over, and the words spoken here may be of Thee. Father, I know that You've been pleased to use human vessels. It's not been Your will to have angels preach this. It's been Your will to have flaw-filled men preach this message, but redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we thank Thee for the power today. We thank Thee for the demonstration of the Spirit in our lives. The miracle of new birth all over this auditorium. We pray, Father, that we'd grow thereby. In Jesus' name, amen. Now is the time for attention. Now is the time for attention. All you kids writing and doing something else. Now is the time for attention. Amen. Coloring comes later. Now is the time for attention. You know, Jack Hiles said in one of his messages, he says he wasn't goal-oriented. I don't know of a man, if I follow different men, but Pastor Jack Hiles, First Baptist Church of Hammond, has more goals than anybody I know of. I mean, they have a spring program. They have a fall program. They have a pastor's school. They have goals and planning. I've never heard any. They want to boost their attendance from, 20,000 to 25,000, or they have 200 buses on the road every Sunday morning, some 200 plus buses. You think it's a mess to keep two buses going. But you'd have to have some plans to do all that, that mega ministry up there, by the way, that has standards for girls' dresses and standards for boys' haircuts and standards for teach Sunday school teachers to live separated from the world. Yet they're the largest church, as far as I know, in the United States. Some membership of 62,000 people. And up over there by Chicago. But whatever you think of those, that man has some goals in his life. Yet he said he's not goal-oriented. And I thought that was interesting as I began to think about that. You know, I've not been much. If you want to call this a weakness or whatever, I'm sure you have a whole list of my weaknesses, but add this to it. I have trouble setting all kinds of goals in the future. Back here, I have a hard time setting a goal a year from now or 2 years from now,
because it's just hard enough for me to do what I'm supposed to do today. I have a whole lot of concentration of my time spent just in reading my Bible today, in praying today, and in thinking about what I'm doing today. Now, some people I know out of school and stuff just seem like they had their whole life planned. I mean, it was like what they were going to do when they got to school, what they were going to do after this, when they got married, and their whole life was goal-oriented. I'm not goal-oriented either. I have goals, okay? I want to know the Bible better. That's a good goal. But I have more specific goals than that. But I have goals, but I'm more just living every day. I want to live to the very best of my ability for Jesus. And as the God that sent Moses to the children of Israel says, tell them that I am sent you. God is a God of the present. My dad used to tell me years ago, when I was just heard him from a little child up. He says, son, or he wouldn't say it's always to me. He'd say it to my mother or to one of my brothers. He'd say, when you go through life, remember to smell the roses. How many have heard that? Yeah. He says, when you go through life, and if anything characteristic of my dad, in not a bad way, by the way, but in a good way, was that he knew how to enjoy life every day. That it wouldn't be a day he'd walk out of his yard and he wouldn't see a flower and he'd say something, boy, I really like those flowers, those hibiscus out in the yard. Or he'd say, I really liked it. Wasn't that a beautiful this or that? And he'd point out. And it made me realize that he was trying to teach me, don't be so oriented on I can't wait till I'm 16. I can't wait till I'm 16. That from 12 to 16, you pay no attention to what's going on. And you miss life from 12 to 16 by having your sights so set upon becoming 16 that you forget that you're 12 now and you'll never be 12 again. And you better enjoy every bit of 12-year-old because you're not going to have it after you hit 13, that special age 13. And the Bouchers are 23. Enjoy to the fullest the 23rd year of your life. Amen? It gets better. But my dad used to tell me, smell the roses. You know, people are so busy going somewhere that they never even remember how they got there. I used to go to the, and this is just something I did years ago, and I'd be so busy. So thinking about what was coming up, what was going to come up that day, what responsibility was over me that day. This was most of the time during my college time, that I would forget. I'd go into the bathroom. I don't know about you. I never lived in these fancy houses where the water heater was very close to the faucet. My water heater, they tried to figure out how far they could put it away from the bathroom I was using. So I'd sit in there in the morning, and I don't particularly like to get into the shower, turn the faucet on hot, have it be ice cold, and jump in there first thing in the morning. I'm just not that kind of person. I'm not a morning person, and whatever that means. That means I'm grouchy in the morning? Okay. But no, I turn this on, and I turn it to the hot. I'd go to the faucet, and I'd turn it to the hot, and I'd sit there a while. You know, you sit there kind of like, you know, I don't know how you sit. Maybe some of you probably are singing and happy in the morning. I sit there kind of like, you know, stunned, and you know, one eye open, and I'm kind of blurry, and I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting for the water, and I think, stick my finger in the thing, and stick my finger in it again, it's still cold, stick my finger in it again, it's still cold, you know, go on and on that way, till finally, the water gets hot, and I'd turn the shower on, in a medium, you know, and then jump in the shower. That's my habit, okay? But for a while there in my life, I would get to the point where I'd go turn that water on, it'd get hot, I'd jump in the shower, I'd finish my shower, turn the shower off, and I'd look, and the sink was running. I think I turned that off. Didn't I turn that off? Wasn't noticing. And you know, I've done this. Have you ever brushed your teeth and forgot you brushed them? And had to look and see if you brushed your teeth? How many have ever done that? Raise your hand. Then we'll admit it. I brushed my teeth. Have you ever gone out of the house not brushing your teeth? Some of you this morning, I hope not, but don't raise your hand. You go out of that, you know, you're so busy with what's coming up, what's in the future, that you forget that you're living now, that you're alive now. How about flowers? I planted some flowers for years. In college, I planted flowers. I would like flowers. I planted morning glories. I had tomato plants. I had all kinds of little plants around my little places where I lived. And I'd find myself planting these things, going to the work of buying them, putting them into the ground, and for weeks never even noticed them. Wouldn't even know what they were blooming, wouldn't know whether they were coming up. And I had walked past them every day, walked past these flowers and gotten into my truck. But what was that even? I was thinking about what was coming up, the tests I had and all this other stuff and the job I had. And so busy living in the future, what was not there yet, that I forgot that I was passing the flowers that I had planted. Sometimes 2 weeks or so would go by and never even noticed them. And I'd kind of all of a sudden wake up to the fact I'm living too much into the future, not enough into the present. And I'd go by and I'd stop. I did it this morning. I went outside the house this morning. And man, we had some nice weather this morning. Oh, I mean, I walked out and it was perfect. Garden of Eden, temperature, whatever that is. I mean, you know, I walked out there and it was kind of breezy and cool. And I've been here all summer. You folks come down in the winter won't appreciate this. I appreciate that nice, cool wind. And I looked at the flowers I had there by my house, real red. For some reason, the color on them just vivid right now, and just red flowers, and I have some hibiscus blooming now over by my house, and I'm fixing to plant a bunch more of those impatiens and various things. I want those to grow up and get all those flowers going, because I just love those flowers. And I went out there, and I just took about, it wasn't a half a minute on the way to meet Earl at the restaurant. I went over by the flowers, and I looked at them, and I kind of just took them in for a second. And then I went by and I saw a couple chameleons running, and I looked at them very carefully, how intricate their eyes are and their tail, how it whips around. And I took them in for a second, and I walked into my vehicle and I sat into my truck. And man, when you've got a Ford, it's such a pleasure. I sat into my vehicle. I noticed it was dirty. That upset me. But I got into the vehicle and I sat into the seat, which was nice and velour. And I enjoyed that. And I sat in and put the key in there and I started. Ford's always a start right up. I started that thing right up, and it started up. Air conditioning hit me, and I thought, that's great. You know, I've got air conditioning. And I put it in gear. I don't have to shift or no clutch, and it went backwards and what it was supposed to. And I went to the, and I drove down, and as I backed out of my road, I looked, and I saw the beautiful green trees on the left there and the green trees on the right and some birds flying over. And I drove up to the end of the stop sign, and I noticed across the street the guy has fixed these, over to the side too, the guy on my left has fixed his yard up and has nice little ornamental plants and things. And I noticed them for a second. I did look for traffic. I noticed no cars were coming, took a right, and drove past John Asher's house, noticed all the bicycles and toys out in the yard. I noticed he'd cleaned the place up. It was beautiful looking this morning. I don't know how they do it. But I went by that big tree and the various things and his flowers he has occasionally there, the hibiscus. And I just went on down the road, noticed from the various houses in the right and the left, and I went on. And I do that morning after morning after morning. Been doing that. I've tried to do it because early on my dad taught me that the notice, the present. Don't live so much in the future that you forget that you're living now. And God told... he told Moses, he says, I'm not just the God, I'm the God. Yes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Yes, Jesus Christ, the God of the future. But Jesus Christ is the God of the present now, too. I am that I am. I think of the college days. You can get so wound up in trying to graduate from college that you forget while you're in college, you should enjoy every class. I had a little privilege of being older than most of the people I went to school with. I graduated, I was 27. And that little bit of years gave me at least this secret that I enjoyed every class I had in college. I didn't enjoy them in an extent that I almost flunked a couple. I mean, business law, C-, one of my gifts. Barely could pass law. I can't figure out how anybody can do that law. But anyway, I passed law barely. English, barely. You know, but I even enjoyed those classes as much as I could as the St. John, his name was, a teacher, got up there and talked in his foreign language called English. I enjoyed the campus flowers day after day. Enjoyed the ride that I had from down from Taylor's Road down Pleasantburg and down to the school day after day. God is a God. What I'm teaching today is a truth that every one of us needs in life. See, as a Christian, We sometimes get so goal-oriented. Okay, we're going to heaven. Okay, we're here. We're out Saturday to pass out tracts. We were out Saturday passing out tracts again. Last week, we passed out 1,206 tracts as a total by the church. This week, I hope it'll be much more than that even. And we went out passing out tracts Saturday morning and went to the store there. But you know, as I go out passing out tracts, Bill, who you were with me, I enjoy the drive to the place where we're passing out tracts. I enjoy it while I'm passing them out. I'm not so excited and concerned about the passing out of these tracts or the witnessing that I forget that I am still living and that there are things around me which I need to notice. God is a God of the present. I think of these bus drivers. Now, I'm going to give you some, you know, every sunset's a sunset for me. Every flower that blooms is bloomed that I see, at least, is for me. Every cloud that it comes along my path is God has made for me, and He's made for you. I think of these bus drivers. How I'm going to try and encourage. Where are the bus drivers? I see you folks, most of you. Bus drivers, if you've been or have been or maybe want to be, boy, you want to be after I finish this. I think of the bus drivers. A bus driver should enjoy getting up in the morning, taking the shower. Enjoy. After being to Haiti, where you take a little faucet and you have to turn it on and gravity feed, almost no water comes out. You put soap in your hair. You almost can't get the soap out of your hair with that little bit of water trickling down. And it's cold. It takes your breath away. I mean, just shower. You know one of those? Ever remember those? And, you know, try to enjoy that much as you can. But, you know, enjoy your warm shower you have. You bus drivers say sometimes, and I know, I got to drive the bus again this week. Oh, man, it's hot. I'm going to be in there sweaty. And, you know, you can get that way, can't you? But you need to remember to get up. Hey, God's given you the privilege today to be alive. He's given you the privilege today of being able to get up and get into the shower, being able to enjoy the clean towels to dry off, being able to walk in a house with air conditioning and balanced temperature. To be able to look at your chest of drawers and, man, say, that's a nice chest of drawers, and have your wife, of course, clean and folded your underwear and everywhere, and they put them in those drawers so neatly. And I thank God for that, and I'm thankful for that. And enjoy the clean clothes that I have and all the work that's put into getting those. You should enjoy the nice carpet in your house and the clean kitchen that you get to go to eat in the morning. You should enjoy the freshly cooked bacon and eggs and fresh toast, freshly peeled potatoes, thinly sliced, fried in an iron skillet with real butter to golden brown and a little crispy. You should enjoy that. You should enjoy the time of prayer and fellowship with God as you get out of bed. I try to get out of bed and quote a scripture every morning to the Lord and to praise the Lord, and I memorize some psalms and to praise Him every time I get up on my way to the bathroom and back and forth during the morning. Enjoy the Lord every morning. Enjoy the air, the smell, the fresh air as you walk outside, and the fragrance of the new morning as it hits you in the face. Enjoy the nice ride to church in a horseless carriage. Think about having to go out there, saddle an old grouchy horse up, put a bit in his mouth, put him on some type of a yoke, and put the tie, all that stuff, get into the carriage, ride all bumpy carriage, no air shock, no gas shocks. And so you should get in your vehicle today. All of you should enjoy those new gas shocks they invented a while back that most of you ride on. We should enjoy the fact that we have that type of a transportation. You should enjoy the view through the window as you go to church and from church, or to work and from work, or wherever you're going. And whatever goals you have, you should remember that God is a God of the present too, as well as a God of the past and a God of the future. You should look at the ospreys as they fly by, or the chicken hawks, or the blackbirds, or the sparrows, or the cranes, or the owls, or the cows, or the horses, or the roadkill, and the vultures beside the road that get to eat them. I like to look at the turkey vultures that are standing beside the road. I look at the armadillos, dead or alive. I look at palms. I look at the pines. I like to look at the paper tree blooms and think of all those folks that are allergic. I think of the holly bushes and the green grass as I drive by. I look at the weeds along the highway, the sunrise, the puffy clouds as they dance along the sky. You should enjoy the highway and how smooth it is, and how years ago they had nothing but gravel and dust to eat. every day as they went up and down the roads. You should enjoy the challenge of getting your bus running in the morning and be thankful when you turn the key, it starts. Oh, the smell of opening that bus, that first smell of the inside of that bus after having been shut up all week should be something to remember every day. You should enjoy the feeling of exhilaration as you pull out of the driveway and know that your tires have air in them. You should enjoy the breeze that passes over your sweat and the cool feeling that you get, bus drivers, as the wind begins to come into the windows. You should enjoy the smiles of the kids that get onto the bus. You should enjoy the sounds of these children. Otherwise, it would be lost and never hear the gospel preached that you have been, by your sacrifice, been able to pick up and to bring to church. You should enjoy the sweat, the toil, the noise, and even the return home. All of it is an adventure every time you do it. Brother, life is precious. This week, more than many weeks in my life, I realized how precious life is, how quickly it can be gone, and how I rebuke myself for letting days go by, yea, weeks go by, unnoticed, in a blur, with some goal in front of me that I had focused so intensively that I forgot that God is a God of the present. Now is the time for attention. Go somewhere. Yes, go somewhere. But don't forget on the way to be somewhere. Also, now is the time for action. Now is the time for action. As I study the Bible, it says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Psalm 95:7. If you need to make amends or amends with someone you've offended, brother, you better do it today. Today is the day for action. The Bible never speaks in future terms when it comes to you doing right. It speaks of you doing it now, today. The Bible is a book of present tense when it's concerning you and your actions towards God. Search it out. Today, He says, don't say, last week I preached, don't say in 4 months cometh the harvest. He says, you lift up your eyes unto the fields, they're white right now. You get out into the field now, and it's harvest time at work. It's harvest time at the grocery store. It's harvest time wherever you're about your natural life. Don't you take your witnessing and categorize it onto a Saturday morning twice a month, or a Saturday morning every Saturday, or a visitation program. Don't you take part of your Christianity and segment it. You need to be a Christian every day, everywhere, for now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. God is a God of the present. If you have you've offended people and you have offenses and hard things between other people you love and your family, you need to make amends today. You need to call them today. If you've burdened to help someone, the Holy Spirit's burdens you to help someone, you need to do that today. And let me say this. If you haven't called your mom and dad and told them you love them, and if you haven't written them, you ought to call them today. You ought to call them today. Today is the day of action. Oh, I'm so thankful. As my dad got sick and possibly would be terminal for him, I thank God that I've taken some time to be where I am. Some time to be where I am. God is a God of today. Don't procrastinate. I have a poem here. It says, I spent you two be still. I spent a fortune on a trampoline. You folks are in. How many here have ever purchased an exercise bike, used it for about 2 weeks, and then were guilty the rest of the time you passed it? Never mind. I spent a fortune on a trampoline, a stationary bike, a rowing machine, complete with gadgets to read my pulse and gadgets to prove my progress results. And others to show the miles I've charted, but they left out the gadget to get me started. This one man, the preacher tells a story of this one man he visited. A man came to church, filled out a card, put it in, and the preacher called on the man and said, I'd like to visit you. The man, he went and visited the man. The man wasn't very interested in the things of God, but the man told the preacher, he says, let me say this, preacher, I'll come to your church just as soon as I got to get straightened out. But when I get straightened out, he says, I'll come to your church. About a few weeks passed, the man didn't come. Preacher took another call, went over to the man's house, and he said, brother, you know, he said you'd come and everything. He says, you know, I'm sorry I haven't come. I've been real busy, and I will come to your church. I give you my word. I'll come to your church as soon as I get straightened out. I'm not straightened out yet. I'll come to your church when I get straightened out. A few weeks passed, and the man died. The wife of the man came to the preacher and said, would you please do the funeral service for my husband? And the preacher said, of course, I'll be glad to do the funeral service. They had the funeral service and everything. One of the members came up to the preacher afterwards and says, do you believe this man was saved? And the preacher said, I really cannot tell you because I never got a real good profession of faith from the man. I don't know where he stood with the Lord. But all I know that this man was a man of his word. They said, what do you mean? He says, well, he promised to come to church just as soon as he got straightened out, and he did. Don't procrastinate. God is a God of the present. He in the Bible says, today, don't harden your heart. Today, if you're under conviction, today, if you have a burden, today, if you think of a loved one, today, as you walk out your door, today, as you drive home from this, be a person of the present, following a God of the present. I think of this article, it's really kind of a sober article, that was in the Los Angeles Times in 1985, and it tells about a woman that had died suddenly, and her husband and her sister. And let me read this to you, because I don't want to miss any of it. I'll read exactly as it appears. My brother-in-law opened the bottom drawer of my sister's bureau and lifted out a tissue wrapped package. This, he said, is not a slip. This is lingerie. He discarded the tissue and handed me the slip. It was exquisite. Silk, handmade, and trimmed with cobweb of lace. The price tag with an astronomical figure on it was still attached. Jan bought this the first time we went to New York, at least 8 or 9 years ago. She never wore it. She was saving it for a special occasion. Well, I guess this is the occasion. He took the slip from me and put it on the bed with the other clothes we were taking to the mortician. His hands lingered on the soft material for a moment. Then he slammed the drawer shut and turned to me and said, "Don't ever save anything for a special occasion. Every day you're alive is a special occasion." I remembered those words through the funeral and the days that followed when I helped him and my niece attend to all the sad chores that follow an unexpected death. I thought about them on the plane returning to California from the Midwestern town where my sister's family lives. I thought about all the things that she hadn't seen or heard or done. I thought about the things that she had done without realizing that they were special. I'm still thinking about his words, and they've changed my life. I'm not saving anything. We use our good china. Hallelujah for this statement. We're using our good china and crystal for every special event, such as losing a pound, getting the sink unstopped, the first blossom of a flower. We use our good china and our silverware. You know, I've laid carpet for 17 years. I've moved a lot of bureaus of silver, and I even have moved gold cups. Brother, if I own gold cups, I want to drink out of them every day. If I have silverware, I want to use them. How many times have I done it where people have died and they've got this silverware and it's just beautiful? Never been used. Hardly. So when I come over to visit you, that should be such an occasion. Break out the china. Break out the silverware. Break out the gold cups. And let's drink Pepsi in them or something, you know? Well, let me go on to what she says. Here, I got caught up. Someday, and one of these days, the word someday and the word one of these days are losing their grip on my vocabulary. If it's worth seeing or hearing or doing, I want to see it, I want to hear it, I want to do it. I'm trying very hard not to put off, hold back, or save anything that would add laughter and luster to our lives. And every morning when I open my eyes, I tell myself that this is special. Brother, you woke up this morning. This is a special day. You're able to hear me with your ears this morning. This is a special day that you can hear. It's a special day that you can see me. You may not feel that way. But it's a special day, ladies, when you roll over and look at your husband there laying beside you in the bed. Ask the widows. It's a special day there, men, when you roll over and see your wife beside you. My wife's up in Orlando this morning. I went to bed last night alone. And I thought, how horrible. I didn't like that. And I woke up this morning alone. I didn't like that. I appreciated my wife. I sat there and just appreciated my wife a little bit. And just was thankful to God for the opportunity to have a wife. And just to be thankful. So what's this do? Understanding that God is a God of the present makes you thankful for everything that comes along in your path. And you're not so busy groping and grasping for something in the distant future, by the way, that you may never make. That you forget that you have a wife. This is what people do when they become workaholics. They get to their job and they think their job is the most important thing in life. And they ignore their wife. They ignore their kids. Pretty soon their kids are grown up, out of the house. The wife divorces him. She never knew him much anyway. He forgot that he was living today. He forgot he was somewhere when he was going somewhere. God said to Moses, he said, Who shall I say sent me? And he says, you tell them. The I Am has sent you. The Bible says this, and I close. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Maybe you're here today and you don't know. You've never definitively made a public profession of your Christianity. You've never publicly confessed to another human being, I have received Jesus as my Savior. I know Him as my Savior. You've never publicly done that. I can implore you today that today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptance. Now, I'll do that tomorrow. Let me say one thing I like about life is you have no idea what's coming tomorrow. You have no idea. Not one person can look me in the eye, truthfully say, I'll be here tomorrow. I know we say I'll be here tomorrow. But will you? You can't guarantee that, can you? You may plan on, and I do plan on being here tomorrow, but brother, trust me when I tell you, even more now than ever, I'm going to live today. And I wouldn't want to put my head on my pillow. I wouldn't want to drive to dinner this afternoon not knowing for sure that when I die, not if, when I have Jesus as my Savior, my sins are washed away, and He will accept me as His child into heaven because of the shed blood upon Calvary, that He's paid the price of sin, the justice of God has been satisfied, and now I, by grace, have asked Him through faith to save me and make me part of His children. I wouldn't want to go one day without that. Not one day. And you may be here today. And you can't say for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven. You say, well, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Baptist. Lots of Baptists going to be in hell. One guy said there'll be so many Baptists in hell, all you'll be able to see is their arms and legs hanging out the windows. I mean, there'll be a lot of Baptists in hell. Why? Because they weren't Christian. If you aren't born again and trust in Jesus, I don't care what your tag happens to be, you have to meet the conditions that God set forth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's it. How do you read that? Or you may be here this morning, you're a born again Christian, but you've been so caught up in goals, financial goals. You know what kills me about retirement funds, to be honest with you? I have retirement. I have $5-$10 saved for retirement. I'm hoping you save yours so that you can give me some of yours when I'm retired. No, I don't. But I really don't like retirement funds. I just hate retirement funds. I just hate to save any money in the future because I just got a feeling my wife's going to enjoy it. When you have 22 widows and no widowers in a church, things begin to clear up with me a little bit. And I don't want to leave my wife too wealthy because of all the men they'll be wanting to get my money. The Bible says life is but a vapor, appears for a little while and it's gone. Man, that's true. I hope you're prepared. I hope you live. As Christians, this is going to help you. This truth will help you enjoy. God has made all of this that you see, He's made it for your enjoyment. God enjoys it when you enjoy it too. And I don't mean live for pleasure. I don't mean lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I mean being obedient to this book, and I mean following the commandments in this book and obeying what God says in this. But in obeying it, in following it, live as you have a God that is a God of the present. And the happiest people on earth who know where they're going to go in the future and can enjoy the present too. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father.
This concludes CD number 6. Please feel free to visit our website at www.gospelbaptistchurch.com or email us at gbcs@earthlink.net. If you need to speak to us directly, please call area code 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.